Let's pray together. O Spirit of God, O wind of God, O breath of God, breathe in us now. Breathe into our world and breathe into our families and breathe into our schools and our workplaces. Breathe into all that is swirling around us and in us. Breathe into us so that we might know your wholeness and peace again. So that we might be filled with your fruit. We come now into this moment asking for your breath to fill us. Speak to us, we pray, through Christ. Amen. Andronicus was turned 57 last Thursday. His friends threw him a birthday party again this year, and it's become their custom since his wife died 3.5 years ago. She was the only one that still called him Andronicus, so the banner on the front door of his house simply said, "Happy birthday, Andy." It was a great party they put together. Everyone from the neighborhood showed up. Several of his coworkers were there. His daughter Phoebe and her 3 little kids were running around. The grandkids always made Andy feel alive again. In fact, just about everyone was there. Everyone except his wife, of course. And his son, Levi. You see, Andy had this falling out with his son about 6 months after his wife died. She was always better at talking to him than Andy was. And it seemed like no matter how much Andy tried with his son, things always blew up. The two of them, they butt heads over everything from religion to politics to sports to pizza toppings, for that matter. For some reason, it was always hard for Andy to connect with Levi, even when Levi was this little boy. And now that Levi's grown, it feels like a lost cause. Andy just can't seem to have enough patience or empathy or something with Levi. He doesn't know what. The birthday party, though, was really great. Andy enjoyed himself thoroughly that night. In fact, he may have enjoyed himself a bit too much. He's always been the life of a party. It's probably why so many folks had shown up to his party. Everyone liked being around Andy. The funny thing was, he doesn't quite remember all his guests leaving. In fact, there wasn't much about the end of that evening that he could remember the next morning. It wasn't really like him to go overboard like that. But this year, he did. Most of his friends thought, oh, he's just celebrating. It was his birthday after all. But this pit in his stomach the next morning betrayed him. It's the same emptiness that's haunted him most of his life. It's gotten stronger these last few years, what with his wife gone and his son distant. 57. It didn't exactly look the way Andy expected it to look. But he tried to not let that get to him. There's a lot to be thankful for, he'd tell himself. There's Phoebe and her 3 little ones. They're wonderful. And of course, I still have my health and I have my work. And a lot of people have it a lot worse. He tried to stay positive. In fact, no one ever really worried about Andy. He's done so well, they would say. And it sure looked that way. I mean, his business kept moving forward. His playful side rebounded just a few months after his wife passed. But there was that emptiness, that part that he couldn't quite ignore at times, but it also wouldn't stay away. Every now and then, it just sort of took over. Sometimes that dull aching in his gut, it looked like it did last Thursday night. He would try to cram a whole year's worth of fun and excitement into one night as if he could cram in enough joy and excitement to fill up that emptiness and make it go away. Other times it showed up like the last time he talked to Levi. Out of that great black hole within him, a flash of anger had come raging again. It's that same temper that would flash out at his late wife. He doesn't know why he would get so angry or irritable, but now that she's gone, he sure hates himself for it. For some of the things he said to her. and for just how irritable he could be around those he loved the most. Andronicus turned 57 last Thursday. The morning after, his headache was accompanied by this emptiness again, but somehow larger and more present than it tends to be. So the one thing that he couldn't stand was to sit there alone inside his home there on the southeast region of Galatia. Friday was market day for his cloth. Andy didn't need to be at the shop. His apprentice was running things for him today, but where else would he go? And so he walks the mile and a half to the center of town. He checked on things. He said hello to his apprentice, to the shopkeepers next door. He was his typical smiling, charming self around them, but he couldn't keep it up very long for that day. So after making a few excuses, he kept walking. Things were pretty crowded that day. The marketplace was full, but just past it was one of Andy's favorite spots. Just blocks off the main street was this large stone. It's a stone that he and his wife used to sit on to watch the sunset. And as Andy turned the corner, he saw someone sitting there already. A short, bald man, a bit homely, with a kind face. Andy's heart sank just a bit to see his stone occupied, but since there wasn't really any other place to go, he decides to sit down. "Do you mind?" he asks the stranger. "Not at all. My name is Andronicus. Friends call me Andy." "I'm Saul. Friends call me Paul." Andy thought it was a bit strange to see an unfamiliar face. He lived in that area all his life, and he knew or he recognized just about everyone, despite being unfamiliar, though the stranger didn't make him feel uncomfortable. Quite the opposite, actually. There was this warmth to the stranger's presence, a comfort, something about him that put Andy at ease. "Hot day," Andy said. "Yeah, it is," the man smiled. There was a kindness in his eyes. "Andy, is it?" "Yeah, that's right," Andy said. "Well, happy birthday." "Thanks." "Wait, how did you..." "I saw the banner outside your house when I was walking through town last night." "Oh, sure. How many years is it?"
57.
Paul said, nodding his head. "What, do I look older?" "No, it's not that. Just a bit unhappy."
"What makes you say that? I'm happy."
"No, you're not. It's there in your eyes."
Andy was feeling a little defensive at this point. This stranger doesn't really know anything about him, and here he is telling him how he felt.
"Not that it's any of your business," Andy said, "but I'm very happy. I have 2 kids, 3 grandkids, and a successful cloth business. Life has been good to me."
"Oh, I'm sure it has, but I'm not the one that needs convincing here," Paul said in a very even-keeled tone that for some reason just really irritated Andy.
"What do you know?" Andy shot back.
"Well, for one thing," Paul says, "I know that following the rules isn't quite enough."
"Who said anything about rules?"
"You didn't have to. It's the way you described your life. Family, kids, career. Check, check, check. Sounds like you've done it by the book, Andy. But you're sitting here arguing with a stranger on the day after your birthday with this anger in your voice, like you're trying to hide something. Or maybe afraid. Afraid of being found out, I'd guess." And there it was. It was like a bomb going off inside of Andy. Paul's words sort of knocked the wind out of him. Andy just stared at him for a moment, with his mouth half gaping open, his cheeks flush, his voice caught in his throat, and he turns his head away because his eyes begin to water just a bit with these tears that he forced to stop. You see, it was true. He was afraid of being found out. Thursday was his 57th birthday, and he's still pretending. And he can't figure out why he does that and why he feels empty at times and why he gets grumpy with those he loves, but he does. And after this long silence, Andy starts to tell the stranger on the bench about Levi and how things have always been hard with Levi. And he tells him about losing his wife and about the party last night and the emptiness that follows him. It just all starts coming out of Andy. I'm sorry to hear that, Paul says. Yeah, me too. Sometimes I don't think I know who I am anymore, Andy said with a sigh. Well, Paul says, if you want to find out, try being guided by the Spirit, Paul says. What do you mean? Paul turned toward him to look directly. Look, Andy, I can see you miss your wife, and you carry this guilt and regret over things with your son, but they are only triggers for your pain, Andy. They aren't the source of your pain. Of course they are, Andy said. I mean, if she hadn't died, things would be different. She would still be here and things would be better with Levi, and 57 sure would look a whole lot different. Sure, some things would be different, Paul said, but you wouldn't be any different. You would still be irritable with your wife. You'd still put on a show for your friends. You'd still be haunted by that emptiness you described. You'd still feel distant from your son, Levi. You wouldn't be any different, Andy, because you would still be living half asleep to your true self. What are you talking about? Andy asked. Your true self, Andy. The spark of God that's within you, the Spirit of God, it's who you are, it's your deepest essence. You are made with divine life, Andy. It's in you, but you're living half asleep to it most of the time. Be led by the Spirit, and you will find joy and peace, patience and goodness. I've tried, Andy said. I've tried to be good my whole life. I've worked hard. I took my kids to synagogue. Andy, I can tell you've tried. You've tried so hard that you've been your own worst enemy. And in fact, I'd bet the harder that you have tried, the more fake you have felt and the more angry you were at home. Am I right? You know, I've never really put that together before, but maybe. Look, Andy, all that striving, it's like trying to push a rope. It doesn't work very well, pushing a rope. Yes, your life is tethered to God, but you can't push a rope. Otherwise, it just ends up this big knotted mess in your way. You can't push a rope. You have to let the rope pull you. Stop being so driven, Andy. Let yourself be drawn. Paul's words began to loosen something inside of Andy. He took a breath and it loosened up a little more. And the more it loosened, the more that dark emptiness seemed to have the faintest bit of light show up, like a star off in the distance that's beginning to appear that you can barely even see. Stop being so driven, Andy said to himself. Let myself be drawn? Okay, but I'm not sure I get what you're saying or even how to do that. And so with a deeper kind of intensity, Paul began to say in the clearest way, you are not your temper, Andy. You are not your emptiness. You are not even that happy-go-lucky image that you put on for your friends. And Paul, as he began to say these things, his eyes lit up with a kind of flame that took Andy by surprise. Andy, you have been made with the very Spirit of God. Be led by the Spirit. You don't have to be controlled by your personality. You don't have to follow a set script. Be led by the Spirit, and something new will begin to grow in you. Something that looks like life and love. Something that looks like gentleness and faithfulness will grow. I want to believe you, Paul. In fact, I've tried to be kind and patient my whole life. I've tried to be thankful and hopeful, and sometimes I'm able to, Paul. I've really tried. I'm sure you have, Paul said gently to him, but you're trying to do it on your own. You're white-knuckled, holding on to those things, trying to force them into your life, rather than letting go of your life and letting life itself live through you.
Well, it was at that point that Paul began to tell Andy about his rabbi, Jesus, and how Jesus had surrendered his life to God and lived in the surrendered way, and part of that surrendering was trusting God even into death. But then God raised Jesus from the dead, and then Paul said, in a very real way, Jesus, you see, Andy, Jesus was filled with God's life by dying to his own life, and I'm trying to learn to do the same. I'm dying with Christ so that I might be raised with Christ, so that life itself can live itself through me, and it can live itself through you too, Andy. Well, Andy spent the next hour talking with this bald-headed stranger on the stone bench a block off the market. And after saying goodbye that morning, he took the long way home. He walked down the same dirt roads that he had walked 100 times, if not 1,000 times before. Be guided by the Spirit, he kept repeating. Let life live itself through me. He kept coming back to that all afternoon, even as he cleaned up the mess left over from his party. Be led by the Spirit. Well, that evening at sundown, the Sabbath began. And so Andy went to the synagogue like he always did. And when he approached the door, he couldn't believe what he heard. It was the voice of the stranger. And so he walked in and he stood there in the corner, and there was Paul sitting and teaching and telling all of them that were gathered there about this person, Jesus the Christ. And Andy, he just listened in the back of the crowd. It was the same thing he'd heard that morning from Paul. It's the same thing he'd been wrestling with and thinking about all day. But he still had so many questions. There was so much of what was being said he didn't quite grasp. And he knew he needed more help and more guidance. So after worship in the synagogue, he went up to Paul and smiled. Any chance you still need a place to stay tonight, Paul? I've got an extra room and, you know, I could really use some help wrapping my life around what you're saying. Sounds great, Paul said. Thanks for the offer. And so they left together and they talked some more, and not just that night. In fact, Paul is going to stay here for weeks talking to Andy and others, opening up their eyes to the mystery of Christ, teaching them that the deepest freedom comes only when we let ourselves be tethered and attached and drawn by God. Andronicus turned 57 last Thursday. For 57 years, he lived by a certain script, a script that seemed almost handed to him, like he didn't have a choice. He was stuck in the same patterns. He thought it was just who he was. But the day after his birthday, his eyes began ever so slightly to open. And for the first time in his life, Andy started to glimpse something more. Andy breathed in the Spirit of God and slowly began to see something like divine light living itself inside of him, wanting to live through him. 57 years into his life. And now, Andy is beginning. Amen.